Late last night, I received an email from the Michael Coachman campaign. His running mate, Joel Hilden, sent me a letter from the North Dakota Right to Life endorsing Michael Coachman for North Dakota governor. So, joining me on the program this morning is Mr. Michael Coachman. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Dennis. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's be transparent and be in full disclosure with the listeners, is that you and I have talked on a couple of occasions. You did invite me to listen in on one of your campaign calls. And so, you know, I have a little bit of knowledge about what's going on. I have a pre-knowledge of what's going on here. And this endorsement from North Dakota Right to Life, this was definitely something that you were pursuing and seeking after. Is that not true?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I was seeking after it a while ago because I do believe in the sanctity of life. I believe not just the newborn babies and the elderly, but I believe that all life should be cherished. I know none of my opponents will get the endorsement for Right to Life because they don't believe in protection of the newborn. We got one that says you can choose up to whatever you want. You got another one that their party celebrated in New York, knowing that even after a baby was born, they still can take its life. What is the mindset of the people that are running for office trying to say they support the people and represent the people? Because if that is what is represented enough, we need to make a change as a nation, because that is not what our founding fathers foresaw in the future, that they realize that life is precious.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Life is precious. And that's exactly what we believe here. You know, we are big supporters of the Right to Life movement. We've had numerous conversations here. Dakota Hope Clinic. We MC Dakota Hope Clinic's yearly event. And so it's very, very important to us. So let me give you the opportunity to introduce yourself to the listeners of Western North Dakota. Tell them a little bit about yourself. Let them find out who you are.
I'm really second generation military. My father served 20 years in the Air Force. He was one of my heroes back in the 60s. Was one of those things. My dad's bigger than your dad. And my dad was pretty big. So he was one of my heroes. I followed his footsteps in the military. And he also put me in martial arts in 1972. That's where I started learning how to defend myself and to learn how to defend others. And he saw that. And so going and joining the military in 1977, I'm from Connecticut. I went to Texas as our tech school, and then Chanute, Illinois, and to Wyoming, which was one of my first duty stations. And from there, I went to California, then from there, Germany. And when I was in Germany, I was in a system called GLICM, ground launch cruise missiles, which was pretty neat, and it was a short-lived system, but it was one of those where it helped bring down, the Berlin Wall. So after the system was being taken down, people came in and said, "We're going to give you orders to any place in the world." And I'm thinking, "Oh, this is great! I got friends going to embassies, people going to Hawaii, all these different places." And I said, okay, maybe I could go to Florida and work on the space shuttle. So I asked them, should I work in the shuttle? They go, nope, that job's filled. Can I go back to California, work in the shuttle there in South Edinburgh? I said, nope. I said, so what are my choices? And they go, Minot or Grand Forks? I went, what? So I go, why not Minot? Freezing the reason, the cold is bold. Grand Forks, nothing. I said, I'd pick Grand Forks. So I got here August 4th, 1990, and really enjoyed my assignment here. Retired in 97, and got out to worked for city of Grand Forks for a little bit. Then I worked corrections, and I worked with Lutheran Social Services and working with troubled kids from age 12 to 17. Worked in our Christian school as a helper. Been doing a prison ministry to Jamestown for over 14 years. I was in city politics in Larimar for over 8. They just had me come back on to finish out another person's term this year. So it's been pretty exciting. And so it was one of those things that I got really involved in state government back in 2010, 2012 time frame. And I started learning, new to it. I was naive and just going and looking at everything. And I remember at one convention, I said, well, this guy who's running for Senate, he's a farmer, pretty good-sized family. I said, I like this guy. And these two guys, you picture them, they're two guys with their arms folded, looked at me and go, and just give me that side grin and go, it's already been selected. I said, what are you talking about? I said, they already know who's going to win. I said, we haven't voted yet. They said, that doesn't matter. Well, that kind of triggered me, like, what are they talking about? And it didn't come out until later. Then I started seeing different things going on and I within our government. Then I, being in the military and having a servant heart, that has always been my first place and first foremost choice to do, is to serve people and to commit and do right in spite. And even if it makes me look bad, I tell the truth and just take and live with it and pull my boots back on and just keep going forward. But I started seeing things that were, you see things in government that, something's not clicking right. Things are just not functioning on that level, but a lot of times we go, oh, they know what they're doing. And then you start to find out more that it isn't what it is. And we start to learn the truth. And that caused me to stand up and try to make change in government. And when I saw what was going on this coming year, is one of the main reasons I ran for governor. It didn't matter. I knew things from the convention to different things are already preset. And because of that, it makes it harder for somebody like you, me, or anybody else to try to achieve anything to make changes, because it's a glass ceiling. And it's one of those that, again, being in martial arts, I'm a fighter. I don't take defeat easy, especially when it's not on biblical or constitution principles. And I go, this is why I have to fight. I said, most people don't realize this election here, November 3rd, is not a election Republicans against Democrats, against Libertarians, against whoever, Greenpeace, whatever. It's about freedom and tyranny. This is election is about your freedom. This is different from any other type of election. Yeah, we raise, we get Republicans voted in or Democrats, that, and they have the parties on their side, but this isn't. This is about globalism. This is about the new world. This is where people want to slave us. This is about taking your freedom away, taking your kids, taking your jobs, taking everything that you have worked for, those basic moral things, and they're using it against us to take away our freedom and to trying to make us submit to whatever their main agenda is. But we are becoming alike. I tell you what, Dennis, within the last couple weeks, people are starting to really see what this election is all about than any other time. When you have highly suggested put on mask and highly suggested we're going to do vaccination against your will, all these different things, people are saying, what? What's going on here? When it's one thing that when you as an individual be attacked, but when you start having your spouse attack, your kids, definitely your kids, that starts to wake people up. And then when you start seeing what's happening with the elderly, all this coming about, and you're starting to see our constitutional freedoms being stripped from us at all levels, from the school board to the county commissioners to state government. People are furious. People are upset. So right now, as a person that represents the people, for the people, that's why I'm running. Because when you look at the Constitution, it says we the people. We have, over the years, flipped that pyramid upside down. The way we see things now, at the top of the pyramid, you have federal government and state government and your townships and your counties and your cities, then the people on the bottom. The way it was designed is we the people are on top, and all these other agencies are supposed to support the people. We have the voice, but we have gave up a lot of our power. As governor, I'm going to restore back the power to the people. And by doing that, I will give the Constitution, and if I have to have constitutional classes for all the senators and representatives, that's fine. I know they said they gave the Constitution to the individuals before, and they find them all in the garbage can. Well, when you got somebody who don't care about the Constitution, I can understand that. But this governor will support and fully execute the Constitution of the United States, the North Dakota Constitution, and make sure that any bill, any legislation that comes across my desk, if it doesn't fall within those guidelines, it will be redlined. It will be vetoed without it. And I believe that these senators and representatives, that they know that they got a governor that is going to stand on this, that is going to stand in the gap for the people, because that was their job, was when they were elected, is to represent their constituents. And if they don't do it, I'm going to make sure they do by saying, no, you need to follow the Constitution. And if they need constitutional classes, then they will get it. And it's not just there. I will take it down to the mayors, to the council, to law enforcement, make sure everybody understands. Because once you've got a people who are educated in the Constitution, then you have very, very powerful people. You know, James Madison, right here in my Constitution book, a well-instructed people alone can be permanently a free people. I want people in North Dakota to be free. I don't
absolutely,
want
absolutely. Now, but that isn't that a part of the problem? Is that people have relinquished freedom for convenience? Isn't that when you talk about people should know the Constitution, but just like you said, you know, these legislators throw their copies of the Constitution into the garbage. Isn't that really a part of, you know, what's wrong in the United States, is that everybody just got, we're just so focused on convenience, we don't want to do anything that's inconvenient.
Yes, and we saw the outcome of that right now on excuse me, my granddaughter just came in and asked me, I'm homeschooling too. So yeah, we have. And we saw the results of that. Right now, especially here in North Dakota, people understand what happens when we gave up that right for that convenience. We had a great meet and greet last night, and that was brought up too. Luke Simons mentioned it too, that we have given up a lot for convenience. That's why we need to take it back. You know, it's just like anything. If you don't have anybody supporting you, even though if you believe in it, most people will not go past that. But if they know they got a governor that says, you know what, we are going to support the power, the people, support the Constitution, help you get your power back, they're most likely. And then, you know, Dennis, even in the political world, if you pick your head up and you try to stand for what's right, you know you're going to get knocked down, because that's the way it was always done, because it was done for so long. And to stand up against something like this is not something most people are willing to take the chance, because they're putting their family, their job, all this is in balance. When you stand up for something right, especially here in North Dakota, it's a lot. So even though it's an inconvenience, I think right now people realize what's going on. Your listeners right now understand that we did give up some of those freedoms, but we could take it back. I'm going to help them get it back, but it's a two-way street. I only could do so much as a governor. I'm going to do what I can. You as a
understood.
People
good.
Have to
good.
Do
good.
That.
So my next question is so you've got this endorsement from the North Dakota Right to Life. What is the strategy for your campaign? What are you going to tell now? You got this endorsement now, which I believe is a huge deal. What do you do with that now? How do you get the word out that this is a right in candidacy and that they're going to have to write your name in? How do you motivate people to do that?
Well, right now, with that, we are flooded to Facebook. We're trying to get the message out as much as possible. Right to Life will also send out newsletters announcing the endorsement of me, which is huge. Going on more radio shows like yours this morning to let them know that you do have a candidate that cares not just for the elderly, but also for the newborn, for the ones, for those little babies that the ones that automatically that don't have that voice for them. There is somebody right now that will stand in the gap. None of the other candidates are as pro-life as Michael Coachman. You can just look at that. Not even a libertarian. They decided, you know, it's up to the women or whatever. I'm here and standing in the gap for everybody. And because of that, we just got to get the word out. We just got to, right now, like I said, the radio shows, Facebook, messaging groups, getting into different groups, let them know where my stance is. It's moving. And I know you're catching part of it, and you know people are coming out of the woodwork to support me. My phone is while we were just talking, it's constantly beep, 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 just the light, because people want to support me in one way or another. The movement for the Coachman Hilden campaign is just going vertical.
Where can people make contact with you? Where can people learn more about your campaign, your stances, the different things that you believe? Where can people do that? Is that your website?
Yes.
Any website is?
I have a YouTube. Hold on there. We just updated it and everything. I want to make sure I get it right. We got go to www.coachmanfornorthdakotagovernor.com. You got a YouTube for Coachman for Governor, and even on my Facebook, Coachman for Governor, different places that you can go. And most of the times, if you PM me on Facebook, I will usually get with you within 24 hours on the average. I mean, it's just flooding my phone, and I am so excited about this. And we are having a meet and greet in Bismarck tonight. I will be zooming in on that, just to let your listeners know. And I did put out a video. a lot of these meet and greets, my lieutenant governor is going to. The reason I have not, my wife has been diagnosed with breast cancer. She has bleeding from that.
Very sorry to hear that.
So I'm here to pretty much change the bandages, because we change them quite regular. And she's afraid that if we keep bouncing around all over the state, I don't want to bring them, because her immune system is compromised somewhat, because she is doing chemo, but she's a champ. We know this is going to, we're going to come out of this ahead, and we're going to beat it. So we're strong. We're on this. So she's doing good, and I'm proud of her, and I love her with all my heart and all my soul. But we got this. We got this beat, and God's on the throne, so I'm not worried about that. you know, but I just want to let people know that a lot of these Zoom, I try to Zoom meet. If you want to have a Zoom meeting, I'm more than welcome to meet with people. Just again, you can email me at coachman2020q@gmail.com and let me know if you want to have a Zoom meeting, one-on-one or a room full. I am here for the people. And
very nice.
Because of that, I am here. I said, matter of fact, I was telling people like what I love about the Zoom meeting right now is for the fact is it's something I believe I'm going to keep doing as governor, to meet with the people. And if I don't meet with you on a Zoom, then I'm going to be meeting with you on in person. I believe that the greatest resource that we have, people say it's oil, agriculture, cattle. No, the greatest resources we have right now is people. And I love people, and I want to hear. A lot of the problem, like Dennis, we have a lot of different problems from farmers or to energy, whatever. They say, well, what kind of business skills do I have? I have the leadership skills that I learned in the military. My goal is to bring these groups together, ask them, what is the problem? What solutions do you see? Let's do it and move forward. Me, I'm going to empower them. If they need to talk to, okay, what we're going to do for agriculture. You know what? Let's go ahead and get a couple of you guys together. You sit down and talk to Trump.
Good, good. Now, one more time. People, your website, one more time. We're running out of time. What's your website one more time where people can connect with you?
www.coachmanfornorthdakotagovernor. That's ND, or I can spell it out, coachmanfornndgovernor.com. Or on YouTube, Coachman for Governor. And I hope to hear from everybody.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. You got a new write-in candidate endorsed by the North Dakota Right to Life, Michael Coachman. Go look up his campaign.